Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our Thursday morning share at the Youngest Rebbe of Woodmere. So I have an announcement. Next Thursday, there's no share. I'm not presenting share next Thursday morning. It's Thanksgiving Day. Rabbi Schechter always has special Yimei Iyun speakers on the legal holidays. So he asked me to announce that next Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m., this is for men and women, Rabbi Ari Meyerberger will be speaking, Heter Iska, in Common Business Situations. So next Thursday at 9:30, Be'ezer Hashem, the overview is called Halacha in the Workplace, and the speaker is Rabbi Ari Meyerberger. So please come. Rabbi Schechter said he's a major Talmud Chacham and speaks so clearly like a businessman. So everybody will enjoy. So my shir will next meet in 2 weeks, Be'ezer Hashem. Okay? I'm just putting this away. I just wanted to make that announcement. I'm sure the Young Israel will send out the flyer and the announcement, but I'm just letting you know I'm not presenting Shir next Thursday morning. So today's Shir is part two of last week. I got a lot of feedback from last week's Shir, and a lot of people also reached out to me, both who were here in person and online listeners, about the idea of Yitzchak loving Esav in terms of food. And what does that mean? We touched upon that last week. If you missed last week's shiur, I really recommend that you go online and listen. It was very important. It's called What is Love? The Torah Perspective. So today, I forgot to take a hand out. Today we're going to be doing What is Love Part 2, okay? Thank you so much. Such Jesus, whoever. Thank you so, so much. Excellent. Okay, very good. Thank you. So today we're talking about What is Love Part 2. We began last week. I got very positive feedback, and I think there is more to explore. So that is what we are going to continue with today. If you missed last week's shiur, I already said go online and listen, but really, al rega achas, to love is to give. And we brought Torah sources to prove that, and we explored that really in depth. And you need to know that for today's shiur, okay? To love is to give. So now we are going to start right away on the handout, please. Going to screen share for other people at home on Zoom. 1 second, here we go. Okay, so right now I can't see anybody. I could see you now, Paul. Could you see it says Bereishis 24:67? Yes? Okay, fine. So this is not really part of today's shiur. It's really part of last week's shiur, but I forgot to say last week. After shiur, I was looking over my notes, and I remembered that I forgot to share this with you. So one of the psukim that we looked at last week in regard to this idea of love in the Torah is Bereishis. It's the last pasuk of Perachof Dalet, Samech Zayin, and the pasuk says, V'yivi eha Yitzchak ha'ohala Sarah imo. Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sarah, his mother. It's source one on your handout. Vayikachas Rivka, and he took Rivka. Vatihilo liisha, she was to him a wife. Vayaeha veha, and he loved her. Vayinachem Yitzchak achare imo, and Yitzchak was comforted after his mother. Again, we discussed this pasuk last week, but after to love is to give, I thought it was very interesting because we know that nothing in the Torah is an accident, and it's something I try and stress all the time. So if you know it on your handout, I bolded the words vayivieha and vayaeha. It is the same letters and nothing in the Torah, from the letters to the Mesorah of the vowelization to the words that are used. So it's very interesting. Vayivi Eha is the same letters as Vayeha Veha. So we can say Vayivia, he brought her to the tent in order to give to her, because a spouse gives to a spouse. He brought her to the tent in order to give. Because of that giving, Vayivi Eha, therefore Vayeha Veha, he loved her. So once again, it's another proof that love comes from giving to someone else. Vayivi eha Yitzchak. Yitzchak brought her to the tent in order to give to her. And therefore, vayeha veha, therefore he loved her. Now we're going to go on to today's shiur. So that was really an addendum to last week's shiur, okay? So now we're going to this shiur. The second source on your hand, that is a quote from the Kotzker Rebbe. Remember last week I pointed out to you that there is, interestingly, one context or narrative in Sefer Bereishis where love is used in regard to food. And that is in regard to Yitzchak when he is speaking to Esav about giving him the brachos. And he wants to give Yitzchak the brachos to bring me food like I love. So we quoted from Rabbi Dr. Eben J. Twersky, and he said, we live in a society where we use the same word to describe our relationship with meat and potatoes that we use to describe with other human beings. And so I raised the question last week, how can we understand that Yitzchak expresses love for food? You should bring me food. I said the pasuk backwards. You should bring me tasty foods like I love so that my soul will bless you. How could he use the same word to describe his relationship with a piece of venison like he does to describe love of people? So the Kutzker Rebbe once said, it's the second source on your handout. A person who says he loves fish does not love fish. He loves himself, and he likes fish because they please his palate. So someone actually reached out to me last week after listening to the Shir online, and she said how strongly it resonated with her, because she said her and her friends, it's something they always talk about. Someone will say, I love this jacket, and another one will say, really, you love the jacket? Do you want to marry the jacket? So love has become a term that is so overused in our society. So the Kotzker said, Sarah Bonner, you often, as I was quoting, this quote from the Kotzker is actually from the new Sefer you gave me, Rabbi Laff, Sarah Bonner, I'm talking to you. Outlooks and insights on the weekly Torah portion, that quote that I just said is from that Sefer. Thank you. The Kotzker once said, a person who says he loves fish does not love fish. He loves himself, and therefore he likes fish because they please his palate. So how do we understand Yitzchak's love? Someone wants to know the recordings of the Shirma. They're all on YU Torah. YUTorah.org. Search my name, Micha Horitz. You will find all the Shirim there. If you email me after the Shir, I don't know who that is. It doesn't have their name. If you email me after the Shir, I could send you the link. So the Pasuk says, Bereishis 25:28. This is in Parshas Toldos. Chaf hei chaf ches. Please look on your handout. Vayahav Yitzchak et Esav kitzayir befiv. Yitzchak loves Esav because trappings are in his mouth. V'Rivka oheves es Yaakov. And Rivka loves Yaakov. So Rivka loves Yaakov without any reason given. She just loves Yaakov. But Yitzchak, we are told, loved Esav because trappings, hunting, is in his mouth. So what does that mean, that pasuk? So Rashi says, next source on your handout, Befiv. Yitzchak loved Esav because trappings were in his mouth. In whose mouth were trappings? So Rashi first quotes Targum Unklus, Kitargumo, Befiv shal Yitzchak. Trappings, meaning meat, hunting, game, venison, deer, steak, were in the mouth of Yitzchak because Esav was a man of the field. He would hunt animals and he would prepare delicacies for father. So Yitzchak loved Esav because of the food that Esav brought to father. Kitzayid befiv, first pshat is, refers to the mouth of Yitzchak. Second pshat, says Rashi, Midrasha, quoting the Medrash, befiv shal Esav. There were trappings in the mouth of Esav. What does that mean? Shahayat sad also imiramehu bidvarav. What would Esav do? Esav would hunt and trap and trick his father with words. So the first pshat is kitzayid befiv. There were hunting, game, meat, venison, steak, deer in the mouth of Yitzchak from Esav. Therefore, Yitzchak loved Esav for the food he provided him with. But the Medrash says trappings were in the mouth of Esav. He was a trapper with his mouth. He would trap, ensnare, trick his own father. We all know it's very famous. How do you tithe salt? How do you tithe straw? There are things you don't bring miser from. So he would trap father with his mouth. So this is the first time we see the love of Yitzchak for Esav. And in fact, it is food dependent. The love of Yitzchak for Esav is dependent on food. Now we go to the pasuk in question that I raised last week. Bereishis 27:4. Chaf Zayin Dalet. Yitzchak is old, and he wants to bless his son Esav before he dies. So he says to his son Esav, "Va'aseli matamim, make for me tasty delicacies." What's going on?
We're gonna shut it.
Is there noise outside?
They're setting up for tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Va'aseli matamim, make me delicacies. Ka'asher ahavti. This was the question we raised last week. If ahav means to give, and we quoted Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky extensively last week, that we are not an inward-directed love, which is self-gratification, but the Torah perspective of love is outward-directed love. What can I do for you? The more I do for you, the more I will love you. In fact, it's brought down in the biography of Rav Yosef Tendler. Rav Yosef Tendler was the head of the Mechina in Neri Yisrael, Baltimore. Zichron al-Vracha, he actually was our Masada Kedushin. He flew to Toronto to be Masada Kedushin because my husband went to Neri Yisrael, Baltimore. And he was the brother of Rabbi Dr. Moshe Tendler, who was just Nifter. So Rabbi Yosef Tendler was his brother. Okay, so it says in the biography of Rabbi Yosef Tendler that a Talmud in Neri Yisrael once came to him. And the Talmud said, I don't like my English teacher. What should I do? So Rabbi Yosef Tendler said, he's a Jew, you have to like him. So the Talmud said, I don't like him. So Rabbi Tendler said, give him gifts and then you will come to like him. And that's exactly what we tried to bring out last week with all our Torah sources. The more you give to someone, the more you ultimately love that person, which made me think a lot about adoption. How could it be if there's no biological connection between this mother and this child, there could be love? The answer lies in our shir of last week. Hava libanim. So to have, hey, bet is to give. So the more you give, the more you come to love. It does not need to be a biological connection in order to love. Think of how much a Rebbe, a true Rebbe, loves their Talmidim. Why? Because they give the ultimate gift. They give the gift of Torah. The more you give, the more you love. Which raises the question about Yitzchak. It makes it all even stronger. How could Yitzchak say about food, which I love? Because like we said, Rabbi Dr. Tversky says, we don't love food. Like the Kotzker says, you don't love fish, you love yourself. And fish tastes good, so you think you love the fish. So this is Akasha, Bereshis 27:4. So a few people emailed me, email, WhatsApp, listeners online, with their own insights. And after getting a lot of feedback, I decided that let's actually see what the Mefarshim have to say into what it means that I love food. Va'aseli matami, make for me delicacies, kasher ahavti, like I love. V'haviyali, and bring it to me, said old Yitzchak to his son Esav, v'ochela, and I will eat it, ba'avur tevarechecha nafshi, so that my soul will bless you, b'terem amus, before I die. So let's begin with the Sfardo, next source on your handout. Okay, my question is, was Yitzchak's love for Esav really food-centric? Because if it is, that doesn't say so much about Yitzchak, but he was Yitzchak Avinu. So it can't just be the pshat is he loved steak, so therefore he loved Esav. Adaraba, he loved Esav, therefore he loved steak. Do you understand what I just said? It can't be because he's Yitzchak that he loved steak, and therefore he loved Esav who provided him with steak. It has to be he loved Esav as a parent loves a child, and therefore he loved steak because his child provided him with something. Okay, let's look at the Sfardo. Vaseli matamim. Okay, where am I? I'm in about in the middle of page one. Okay, Sfardo. Vaseli matamim. Ratzabi matamim. He wanted tasty food, meaning Yitzchak wants tasty food. Kidesha yisaseik b'kivud av. Ah. He wants to provide Esav with the opportunity to do the mitzvah of honor thy father and mother. And therefore he asks him to prepare him delicacies. Ubazat tachul alav habracha. And through this, not through the food, he will be worthy of the blessing resting on him. Through the fulfillment of kibud av, through the zuchot of the mitzvah, he will then be worthy that the blessing should rest upon him. Ki gam shelo hikir begodol rishos al Esav. The Sfarna says, Yitzchak did not recognize the great rishos of Esav. Esav did manage to trick his father somewhat, and even though he didn't recognize the extent of the wickedness of Esav, mikol malkom, nevertheless, lo chashavu so l'ra'ui shetachul alav osu habracha, he still recognized that Esav was not worthy, that the blessings that he wants to give, that will rest upon Esav. So he didn't think he was a total rasha gomer, but he still recognized that this child of mine, if a parent is self-aware, they recognize that different children have different strengths and different kochos and different talents and abilities and weaknesses and capabilities and lack of capabilities. So Esav did realize Yitzchak did realize that Esav was not worthy of receiving these brachos. Shahaya b'libo lebracho. So Yitzchak had in his heart blessings that he wants to give Esav, and he understood that Esav is not worthy. V'lakein, and therefore, kishaberach Yaakov acharkach, sheyada boshuvay lebracha. Now the Sfarno says, and this proves the fact that Yaakov, who was a tzaddik, didn't need a vehicle like food for the blessing to rest upon him. At the end of the parsha, if you look inside, I gave you your footnotes if you're interested in looking further at home. When Yitzchak blesses Yaakov before Yaakov runs away to Laban's house, slash Shem Ve'Eva, according to the Medrash, Yitzchak gives Yaakov a blessing. It's in Perachav Ches, without any conditions. He says, so that I will bless you. And he doesn't say, bring me venison so I will bless you. He just gives him a blessing. So the Sfarno says, this is proof. When Yitzchak gives Yaakov the blessing, it's not contingent upon anything. But when he gives Esav the blessing, the reason it's contingent upon food is not because Yitzchak needs the food, but because Esav needs the zchut of serving his father in order to make himself worthy of being a vehicle where blessing will rest. And that's why, I'm just going to finish this far now in his lashon, v'dakein kishaberach Yaakov acharkach, when Yitzchak blessed Yaakov at the end of the parsha, sheyeda bo shehu ruay lebracha. Yitzchak understood that Yaakov was a tzaddik, and in and of itself, he was worthy for a blessing. Lo sha'a matami, v'lo bikesh davar, ubercho tekef. When Yaakov comes, before he runs away, Yaakov doesn't ask for fine foods. So it doesn't mean that Yitzchak, I'm sorry, do I keep confusing the names? The whole time I'm confusing the names? Ayvei, I know who I'm talking about. Do you know who I'm talking about? Whew, let's try and get this straight. At the end of Toldos, when Yitzchak sends Yaakov away to Lavan, he gives him a blessing. If you look in the beginning of Perachav Ches, like I wrote for you on your handout footnote, you will see it there. He doesn't ask for tasty delicacies. V'lo pikesh davar, he doesn't ask for anything. Uber kotekev, he just gives him the blessing. And he says, Kel shakayiv arechoscha, may God bless you. So this is proof, says the Sfarno, that Yitzchak knew Esav needed a vehicle of the zchut mitzvah of kibud av to be ra'ui for blessing, and that's why he requested food. I said okay now. Yes, is it clear? Mm-hmm. I'm not making a joke, I'm being serious. Okay, so now let's go to, I'll tell you something funny. You want to know something funny? There are two Rabbeinu Bechayas. There's one commenter in Chumash, he's from the 1300s. And there's another one, Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Pekuda, okay, from the Chovos HaLevavos. So I honestly am never sure how to pronounce, when I teach Rabbeinu Bechaya and Chumash, how exactly do you, what is it, Rabbeinu Bechaya? Is it Rabbeinu Bachya? Is it Rabbeinu Bechaya? So I thought, who could help me with this? So sometimes, I'm trying to see if she's on this shear. Yeah. So sometimes Rabbi Dr. Sikuk and I, he's my kid's orthodontist, and sometimes, not so often, but sometimes we'll share Divrei Torah. So I thought, he's also a teacher at Rambam, Rabbi Dr. Sikuk. So I thought, you know what? I think he might be able to help me. So when I was preparing this year, I reached out to Rabbi Dr. Sikuk. I said, I have a weird question. And I wrote it in Hebrew, Rabbeinu Bechaya in Hebrew letters. I said, commentary to Torah. Na Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Pekuda. How do you pronounce this? I said, could you please send me a voice note? I'm not making a joke, I'm being serious. So Rabbi Dr. Sikuk sent me a picture from art school, I don't know, commentary or maybe his biography of the different commentators to Torah. So this is interesting. Rabbi Dr. Sikuk sent me a picture of the name in art school with the transliteration in English. And he wrote, it appears that Bachya or Bechaye is preferred over Bechaye, but art school is playing it safe and gives you both options. So according to art school, it's Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher or Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher. But it's, okay, so it's Rabbeinu Bachya or Bechaye, but art school plays it safe and gives you both options. So with that, let's go Rabbeinu Bechaye. Bachya, Bechaye. Commentary to Torah. And he's a very beautiful parish on Torah. Ba'aseli matamim, make for me tasty delicacies. Okay, towards the bottom of page one, everybody. Ba'avur tivarachacha nafshi, so my soul could bless you. Ein kavat. This is a very beautiful pshat. Ein kavaras Yitzchak b'she'elas hamatamim b'ta'anug haguf. Very important. The purpose of Yitzchak requesting food is not for the enjoyment of the soul, of the body. B'ta'anug haguf. That's what Rabbi Dr. Tursky was talking about. Or some of us, you leave the restaurant, you say, wow, did I love that steak. Wow, did I love that pecan pie. Wow, did I love that jacket that she just bought. So Rabbi Dr. Tursky said, are we so shallow? Apparently, yes, that in our society, meat and potatoes is described with the same term, that sushi bar. I love the sushi bar. So in Yitzchak's case, and I raised the question this week, so I really decided that it was very important to do justice to my own question and help us all understand. Ein kavanas Yitzchak b'she'elas hamatamim b'tainug haguf v'chushatam. It is not the intention of Yitzchak and requesting food like I love to have enjoyment of the body, or the taste bud should be electrified. So it's not like the Kotzker says, people think they love fish. You don't love fish, you love yourself, but fish tastes good. That was not Yitzchak's intention at all. So we already saw the Sfarno who says his intention was to give his son the mitzvah of kibbut av. In the zchud of the mitzvah, he'll be merit of the brachos. Okay, Ella. Kidei shetei nafsho smecha. Yitzchak requested matamim kasher ahafti, so that his soul, not his body, his soul will be happy. Umis aneges, and his soul will have oneg. His soul will have pleasure, enjoyment, and simcha. So he's requesting food for a need of the soul, not a need of the body. Ki behez chak, ki behet chazek kochos aguf. Because, interestingly, when the strength of the body, when the power of the body is strengthened, yus'oraru kochos ha-nefesh, the strength of the soul will be strengthened as well and aroused. This is true. Why? Because if a person, Rachman al-San, is sick, if their kochos haguf are diminished, you really can't serve Hashem properly. You don't have the physical strength to serve God. And that leads to a diminishment in kochos hanefesh, because when a person is Rachman al-San really ill, all they could really think about is, please let me get better, please help me feel better, please let me get out of this situation. You might not be able to put on tefillin when you're ill, you might not be able to make a bracha when you're ill, you might not be able to learn Torah when you're ill. So having strong kochos haguf will be misorer, in the words of Rabbeinu Bechaya, will arouse the kochos hanefesh, which reminds us why we have to eat l'shem shamayim, even though we often love the fish and love the steak. The reality is the real reason we're eating is to sustain your guf. If your guf is healthy, your neshama could serve Hashem properly. If your guf is not healthy, it's very hard to serve Hashem like you're supposed to. Umitoch simchas hanefesh tachul alav ruach hakodesh. And once he has simchas hanefesh, joy of the soul that will result from having health of the body and strength of the body, then the divine spirit will rest upon him. So again, Yitzchak did not request food because he tastes good in his mouth and because he wants to enjoy the food for the sake of the guf, and that's the end all and the be all. Yitzchak knew that having food and partaking of food and being healthy physically leads to misorer hanefesh. It arouses the soul, and from the health and the simcha of the soul, then the divine spirit will rest upon him. V'husha amruzal, and that is like the stage of stay. I'm in the third line of Rabbeinu Bechaya, towards the bottom of page one. V'husha amruzal, that is what the Rabbanim Zichrona Livracha say. 1 second, there's a... Okay, let's keep going. V'husha amruzal, ein hashchina shura, lo mitoch atzlus. I'm sure you've heard this Ma'amar Chazal. The Shechina does not rest on a person from laziness, v'lo mitoch atzvus, and it doesn't rest upon a person when they're in the state of sadness, elo mitoch simcha. So when a person wants the Shechina, the divine presence, the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence to be with them, you cannot expect the Shechina to rest upon you when you are in a sense of laziness, when you're in a sense of despair, when you're in a sense of sadness, elo mitoch simcha. The Shechina rests upon a person when they have simcha. As part of the reason why there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. There's a specific mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. You would go to be Olo L'Regal, and when you go to be Olo L'Regal, you're going to be seen before God, so to speak. You want the Shechina to rest upon you in the house of Hashem. And how does the Shechina rest upon a person? Only mitoch simcha. Shanemar, and the pasuk says in Malachim Beis, v'hayak is. Does anyone know if the heat is, like, did someone go ask them, like, a couple weeks ago, turn on the heat, or that's just the temperature in here? You wouldn't be in trouble, I'm just asking. Is anyone else hot? Yes, thank you. You're making me feel better. No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm gonna manage. I'm not even saying that it's layered. That's a heel of Yad Hashem. Okay? When the music played, the Spirit of God rested upon him. So when a person is in a state of simcha, then there's zochah tashar sashina, which is why Yitzchak asked for food. He asked for food to make him besimcha. And once he's besimchas hanefesh, oh, thank you, I'm so hot. What's the temperature on? What did he say? 69. 69? So it's me. I know, that's what they told me last time. Okay, I'm going to move over, okay? Because I don't think I'm going to make it through another half an hour under that thing. And that's why when it comes to giving a blessing, it always mentions the soul. The blessing is coming from a person's neshama, the Amar. And that's why Yitzchak said to Esav, Bavur tivarachacha nafshi. So he asks for food, but it's to serve the purpose of arousing the soul, like the Rabbeinu B'chaya says, and therefore my soul will bless you. Bavur tivarcheni nafshecha, leman tivaracha nafshi. So I gave it to you in your footnote. You could see where those psukim are exactly from, but the Rabbeinu B'chai is proving that the food gives fulfillment or satiation to the body. When the body is full and satiated, the soul is aroused. When the soul is aroused to be besimcha, you're able to give a blessing. Okay, and Ruach HaKodesh will rest upon you. Turn over your page, please. Umasha Bikesh Matamim. Oh, that was my kasha. Why did he ask for delicacies? And he specifically says, like I love, l'simchas hanefesh, v'lo bikesh kinor l'nagein k'min haganeviyim. So if he really wanted to have simchas hanefesh, Rabbeinu B'chaya has now established that he wants food to have simchas hanefesh. When you have simchas hanefesh, the shechina rests. When the shechina rests, he could give a blessing. So why didn't he ask for musical instruments? Music also makes people happy, which is why we're not allowed to listen to music during a time of mourning, whether individually or nationally, because it makes a person happy. Umasha mivakesh matamim. Why did he ask food for enjoyment of the soul? Why didn't he ask for a kinor l'nagin k'min haganavim? Mipnei shahaya asid levarchu bidvarim gufanim. Ah. Because, this is a very interesting next shot of the Rabbeinu B'chaya as he continues here, he was about to give Esav blessings in regard to physicality. So therefore he wants something physical, which will be a foreshadowing of what the blessings are about. Mipnei shahaya asud devarcho. Oh, I was thinking something very interesting also. In Parakid Chasa Bereshis, when the Malachim come, even though the Torah calls them Anashim, and they're really there to give Sarah a bracha, I thought it was very interesting that Avram serves them food. It's a perfect example. They don't really need food to give the blessing, but apparently in some sense, when your body is healthy, it becomes healthy when we eat properly. When you have food, you have the capability to give a blessing. So we see that Avram went to such great lengths to serve the angels, and they make it as if they are eating, and through that, being aroused through food, the neshama is able to give a blessing. So why did Yitzchak ask for food to bring simchas hanefesh and not ask for musical instruments? Since, I underlined this for you, shahaya asid devarcha bidvarim gufanim, since he was going to bless Esav with physical blessings, tal hashamayim umishmanei haaretz verov dagon v'tirosh, he gives Esav physical blessings. The al kain ratza shetiheh siba hasimcha ma'achal mimin hadavrashu ratza levarchabo. He wants the type of blessing he's giving him concerns physical satiation, materiality, and therefore he wants the source of the blessing to be physical satiation and materiality. So what arouses him to give the blessing should mimic what the blessing is about. I have to tell you something, it does make a difference. I think it is standing under the light. Wow. Okay, thank you. So the food will mimic what the blessing is about. He's blessing him, Tal Shemaim, the dew of the heavens, Mishman Eretz, the fat of the land. Rav Dagam V'Tirush, you should have a lot of grain, you should have a lot of wine, you should have oil, you should have produce, you should have wheat. So therefore, he wants food to give him a blessing of food. And he brings us proof of this. This is extremely interesting. From the Ribono Sha'olam. V'hinei zei dugma masha darshu azal. And we see this example in God, as the sages teach. Mipnei ma amru Torah nisachu lifnai mayim b'chag. Well, I think we spoke about it here, or in a different venue, I don't remember. By Sukkot's time, that the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot, no, maybe it wasn't here, the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot, the water pouring, the libation, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where they drew the water, and then they poured the water on the Beis HaMikdash. Why on Sukkot? Because what are we daven for right at the end of Chag? Rain. So why did God say, bring before me water on Sukkot? Kidei sheyisparchu lachem gishmei shana. You bring me water, I will bless you with rain. So the same thing by Yitzchak. You bring me tasty delicacies, I will bless you with more tasty delicacies. Heviu lefanai omer bePesach. Why did God say, bring the barley offering on Pesach? Kedei sheyisparchu lechem tvua shabesada. If you bring me barley, something from the field, on Pesach, now you're going into the spring, the time of growth, and then the harvest. If you bring me barley, Omer, I will bless the produce of your field. Heviu lefanai shtei halachem batzeres. And now when we come to Shavuos, we bring the shtei halachem, which was wheat. Why? Kedei sheyisparchu lechem peiros shabeilad. Then I will bless the fruit of the tree. So Rabbeinu Bachai says, you see this from the Ribbono Shel Olam even. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the Melamei Torah L'Am Yisrael, says, ah, pour the water libation before me, I will bless you with Geshem. Bring me barley, bring me wheat, both bring me barley and wheat on Pesach and Shavuos respectively. I will bless the produce of your fields and the trees of your field. The Hakol Mida Keneged Mida. And everything you see is measure for measure. What we bring to God, he blesses us with. What Esau brought to Yitzchak, he was going to bless him with. Shatachal habracha ba'oso min atzmo. So the blessing will rest on that thing itself. You bring it to God as avodas Hashem, God will then bless that. Esav brought to Yitzchak for really some degree of avodas Hashem in serving his father, and then Yitzchak was able to bless him. Mitala shemayim mishmani aretz bischar ha'ava v'nisuch. So in the reward for you bringing this to God and the poor libation offering, Hashem will bless you measure for measure. The ein kavanas rizal b'ma'amar hazeh sheyezeh schar asiyas ha'mitzvah halal chas v'sham. You shouldn't think that the sages mean that the reward for the mitzvah is the wheat will grow more in the field. So you might think, oh, so that's my ultimate reward, that's it. So I brought the lachem hapanim, I brought the carbon omer, so now the reward is more barley and more wheat? No. Because where's the reward for the ultimate reward for mitzvos? Hello, where's the ultimate reward for mitzvos? Not in this world. So Rabbeinu Bachai is saying it's not the reward, it's the tam of the reward. Hakaren kayemes lo olam haba. The ultimate reward is in the next world. Shaharei armo schar mitzvah bahay amalika. Because the real reward of a mitzvah is not in this world. The real reward of any mitzvah we do is where? In the next world. Klomer, but the way that God blesses and brings blessing to the world is mida keneged mida. Through our actions, God reciprocates measure for measure. So through Esav's actions, Yitzchak would be able to reciprocate measure for measure. Klomer, ikra schar eina ba'olam haza. The main reward is not in this world. Aval haschar hu peiros ha-mitzvah shadam ochel ba'olam haza. But there are fruits of the mitzvah that a person does consume in this world, b'min ha-mitzvah ba'atzma, from the type of mitzvah. So you do a mitzvah bringing shtei halachem, God blesses you with more wheat. But that's not the ultimate reward. That's the bracha. But the true schar is in the next world. The k'inyan sh'amru razal, kol ha zahir b'tzitzis, zocha l'talis na'a. Similarly, if you are careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis, you'll be zocha, your reward will be something of that kind. Your talis will be na'a, kol ha'zahir b'mezuzah, zocha l'dira na'a. If you're careful with the mitzvah of mezuzah, so God will reward you from bringing him mezuzah, so to speak, you will have a dira na'a, a beautiful dwelling place. Ha'zahir b'kiddush hayam, zocha o'mimela, garve yayin v'kuyot b'em. If you're careful with making kiddush on Shabbos, then Hashem will reward you with wine. Sha'in ikra schar mishtalim lo ba'olam haza. But the main reward is not in this world. Ela peirus ha-mitzvos b'mina. But you're having the fruit. So your mitzvah, for example, causes a tree to grow. You don't get the roots of the tree in this world. That's in the next world. But you get a tam. You get the fruit of the mitzvah. So now we have seen that the Sfarno says, why did he say, make me delicacies like I love? He understood, I'm going back to recap, that Esav was not worthy of the blessing, even though he didn't really recognize what a Rasha he was, but he knew he needed some zchut to get the blessing. And since Yitzchak's love for Esav, like we saw in 25:28, was food dependent, why was it food dependent? Not because he loved food, so he loved Esav, rather, he loved his son Esav, and therefore, he loved food. Because it was in his mouth, Rashi says that Esav would serve him food. So the Sfarno says, he gave him a mitzvah of kibbutz av. And once he had the mitzvah of kibbutz, he would now have a merit, a zchut, for the blessing. It's like what you'd see as Mitzrayim. We are on the 49th level of Tumah. We were sinners. We didn't have elu of Avodah Zarah, ve'elu of Avodah Zarah. So how is God going to get us out of Egypt? He had to give us mitzvos, b'damayichai. He gave us the mitzvah of Milah, and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and through the mitzvah of blood, we had the zchut to leave Egypt. So it's a similar idea. We needed a merit to get out. Esav needed a merit to receive the blessing. So that merit would be kibbutz av serving father food. Therefore, Yitzchak loved food. Not because he loved the food, but the food was now a vehicle to give Esav a way to receive blessing, and he loved mitzvah. The Rabbeinu Bechaya, on the other hand, says that the physical sustenance causes the neshama to be aroused. Once the neshama is aroused and in a state of simcha, then the Shechina and Ruach HaKodesh could dwell upon him, because Eina Shechina Shura, lo mitoch atzlutz, lo mitoch atzvus, ala mitoch simcha. But then, so that's why he wanted food. He wanted food to bring his neshama to a place of contentment. That would bring the Shechina down. Then he's able to give the blessings to his son. And the Rabbeinu Bechai says, "Beferush, ein kavanas Yitzchak b'she'os hamatamim b'tainu kanefesh v'chushatam." It is not that Yitzchak loved meat and potatoes. That's not it at all. He understood that through the meat and potatoes, through the kochos haguf, yis'oreru kochos hanefesh, which will lead to asharas haShechina, which will lead to the ability to give his son a blessing. Why specifically to arouse or strengthen his soul did he ask for food? That's his second half of his psha, because the vehicle for blessing should mimic the blessing. So therefore he asked for food because he's going to give him physical blessings, just like God asks us for nisuch hamayim korban omer and shtei halachim, because he wants to bless our water for that year and he wants to bless our produce for that year. I now go to Rabbi Shalom Rosner. Is that what I want to quote next? Yeah. One moment, please. Okay. So, I'm now going to Rabbi Shalom Rosner and his Sefer Shalom Rav. Many commentators point out, it's very hard to assume that Yitzchak was really fooled, says Rabbi Rosner. Everyone in the world knew Esav was a Rasha. Did his father not know that he was a Rasha? It's difficult to imagine, says Rabbi Rosner, that Yitzchak, one of the Avot, was duped and didn't realize who his own son was. Moreover, it stands to reason that Rivka recognized her son and would have commented it to Yitzchak, even though Rav Shamsham Fral Hirsch holds totally differently, but Elu ve'elu. He quotes the Pnine HaTorah, Rabbi David Haddad, who suggests that Yitzchak knew. We're still analyzing what does it mean that not only Yitzchak loved Esav, but Yitzchak says, I love food, like I bring me food, like I love. But we're starting to understand that this was his vehicle of connection with his son Esav. That's why he was so surprised when Yaakov, who's dressed up as Esav, uses the Shem Hashem. When Yaakov comes in for the blessings dressed up, Yitzchak's very confused. He says, call Yaakov. Why are you talking about God? My Esav does not talk about God. And here we come to a very strong Musar Haskel. The Pnei HaTorah, listen carefully, informs us of an educational reality. When a child leaves the fold of Torah, as long as he or she maintains a relationship, either with a parent or a teacher, it's the parent or educator's job to do whatever they can to continue the relationship as much as possible, as tenuous as it is. As long as the child maintains some respect for the parent or teacher, focus on the relationship, give it time and patience. Once the child cuts off all connection with the parent or teacher, the child is lost. And most hope is lost. And now the child is in a very worrisome place. What does that have to do with our topic? The one mitzvah Esav excelled in, we all know, was honor thy father and mother. The Medrash says he put on Shabbos clothing. Rabbi Rosner writes, and I saw this brought down elsewhere, he put on Shabbos clothing every time he went in to serve his father Yitzchak. Therefore suggests the Pnei HaTorah. Maybe Yitzchak showed Esav love because he wanted to keep the communication open in the hope that Esav would come back. And says Rabbi Rosner, we must learn this lesson from Yitzchak. Be patient and able to be positively influenced upon even the most challenging children. So this is also a very beautiful pshah. Why did he love Esav? Because he understood who Esav was, but he also understood that Esav was his child. And it was important to keep a line of communication and connection open. And how did he connect and communicate with Esav? The only language that Esav understood was Ish Sada, Ish Yodei Tzayir. It's interesting. Someone just called me this week. Could be anybody. Really, could be anybody. And was discussing with me that their children are into some of the modern culture in which we live. So that's not so unique. So how upset this parent is, and it's Narishkayin, it is Narishkayin, it's Sachtos, it is Shtos. It's very difficult, etc. So I said, listen, everything you're saying is right. But you can't constantly reiterate to the child how upset this is making you. And she said, good kids, and etc. So I said, so you need to focus on that. I said, you could tell Hashem how upset you are. You could tell Hashem that it's Narishkayin, but if you're constantly harping on how negative, how bad, how she used the word stupid repeatedly in the context of the conversation, I'm not minimizing her concerns. It is Narishkayin, and it is a very dangerous, promiscuous, I said, unless the child's doing something that's really dangerous, or self-harm, or, you know, you're crossing a line, bringing pork into your house, violating Shabbos, etc. So they like the pop star. You know what I told her? I said, when Micha Arutz was a kid, I forgot the name of the band. I said, what was the band? She remembered right away. Does anyone remember, if you're my age? New Kids on the Block. I said, I had a poster in my bedroom. I said, guess what? Baruch Hashem, I'm way past that. I said, so they want the sweatshirt with the name, the label. I said, okay. I said, my kids like sports. He said, you think I care about sports? I said, I talk about it. Why? Because it's important to your child and you need a point of connection with your child. And that's the most important thing. So I said, don't let them know. It makes you so upset that the kids are wearing a sweatshirt with the name of, I don't know, whatever rock star. I said, I also had a poster on my wall. Just keep the line of connection open. And that's what Rabbi Rosner proposes is the source of Yitzchak's love for Esav. He did know who Esav was. He understood full well who Esav was, but he had to keep the love and the communication and the connection open. And we see that Esav was zocha, that his head was buried in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. So in his mind, he had the proper kavanos. He couldn't always bring himself to fulfill it properly. But this is one of the reasons that Yitzchak loved Esav, and it's an extremely, extremely, extremely important Musar Haskel for us. You could tell Hashem how upset you are. You could tell Hashem how stupid you think it is that the sweatshirt has the name of the rock star. Okay, it is. It's fine. She said she can't bring herself to necessarily buy for Hanukkah gifts. So I said, I have an idea. Give Hanukkah gelt, and you tell the child you could buy whatever you want. But then I said, not bacon and not driving to the movies on Shabbos. But if you can't bring yourself to buy the sweatshirt with the name, so give the child the money. And then your child will still be able to make the purchase on their own, but not to harp on how negative and how bad it was. And maybe that's another thing we learn from here. Vaiveli matamim kasher hafti. You love food. So that's what we are able to talk about together. You love sports. So let's talk about sports. You love, I don't know, politics. So let's talk about politics. You love hunting. So let's talk about hunting. Not because I love fish, but I really don't love fish. I love myself. Rather, I love you. So therefore, if you love fish, I love fish. And it's extremely important. And you know, just last week, I mentioned to you that, when we spoke about to love is to give. And I said the ultimate example is a child who has special needs that perhaps can never give back. The parent spends the whole life giving to the child, and the child can't give anything back to the parent. I'm talking about extreme special needs cases. And yet we said, like the Rav says, very often the parent's love for that child supersedes even the love for their regular children. Because the more you give, the more you love. So I don't know if anybody saw the cover story of Mishpacha this week. If you didn't, you should really read it. I hope everyone knows who Alta Fixler was. If you don't know who Alta Fixler was, you should know. Go look it up. So it's interesting because in the interview with her father that was in Mishpacha of last week, you should really try and get the article. There's a lot to learn from it. Interestingly, he talks about relationships between parents and children. But in the interview with Mr. Avram Fixler, he says, Avram Fixler reached out to Chaim Aruchim, an American Agudah-affiliated organization that deals with end-of-life shilos, for assistance. The psak of the Rabbanim was unequivocal. The Fixlers were to fight against any effort to switch off Alta's ventilator. If you don't know, please go look it up. If the psak would have been not to fight, we would have listened for the good of our baby. But if we were told it's up to you and don't shut off the ventilator, we would have done everything to save her. Quote, why am I bringing this excerpt? Because the job of a parent is to give to a child without receiving anything in return. I'm going to repeat, this was a severely handicapped child who was deprived of oxygen at birth, who was murdered by the British government, and she couldn't give back to her parents. She was 2.5 years old. And yet, says Avram Fixler, we would have done everything, and they did do everything in their power to try and save her, quote, because the job of a parent is to give to a child without receiving anything in return. Which takes me back to what I said in the beginning of this year about adoption. Now gives us much more deeper insight into how there can be a true loving relationship between an adoptive parent and an adoptive child. Because it doesn't need to be biological to give. And once you give and give and give, you come to love and love and love. To love is to give to one's child, to give to your friends, to give to spouses, to give to family, to give to the community. And this all made me realize something foundational. I, after preparing these two shiurim and delivering these two shiurim, have really a ha'ara into what Ahavas Hashem means. We spend most of our lives, maybe not you, a lot of people, asking, what can Hashem do for me? What shidduchim can you send for me or my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren? What health can you give me? What parnasa could you give me? What nice house can you give me? What clothing can you give me? Excuse me. What money can you give me for a new sheita, a new dress? What vacation can you give me? We spend most of our life making bakashos of the Ribono Shel Olam. But the highest degree of divine service is not Yerushamayim, it's Ahavas Hashem. Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, Sarah Bonner, I'm quoting the Sefer for the second time in the Shia. Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita teaches, there are two divergent approaches to Avodas Hashem. The first approach is In the words of Chazal, our will is to do your will. Ritzoneinu la'asot ritzoncha. What's first? My will. I have a will. That means my service of God begins with what I want. Ritzoneinu, what I want, is la'asot ritzoncha. I want to do what's good for me, ritzoneinu, and I think it's good for me if I fulfill your will. This is a lower level of a Havas Hashem. It's not a Havas Hashem, I'm sorry. It's a lower level of a Vodas Hashem because it begins with what I want. Ritzoni, ritzoneinu, I have a need. I think to get my need done, lasso ritzoncha, it's through doing your will. The second approach to Vodas Hashem, says Rabbi Zev Lef, is in the words of Chazal and Pirkei Avos. Asei ritzono kirtzoncha, his will comes before my will. In the first model, my will is first. Ritzoneinu, I want. I think to get what I want is lasot ritzoncha. I think I will get what I want if I do your will. The second and higher level is asei ritzono, his will comes first. Kirtzoncha. His will is my guiding beacon. In this approach, says Rabbi Lef, Hashem's ratzon is the starting point. And then I subjugate my desires, disregarding any subjective preferences, to God's will. Says Rabbi Lef, quote, the latter approach, where God's will comes first, ritzono kirtzoncha, and not ritzoneinu first. Says Rabbi Lef, the latter approach is for special individuals, lovers of Hashem. Ahavas Hashem is serving Hashem with no thought for personal reward. And that's the highest degree. So now, after these 1 hour and 50 minutes of delving into this topic, we conclude this two-part series by not talking about love for fellow man, which we've explored in depth, but love for God. So what does love for God mean when you wake up in the morning? It doesn't mean, so what could you do for me today? Find me a job for someone who's looking. Find me a shidduch for someone who's looking. Send a refuah shleima to the achola who's sick. Send peace for Eretz Yisrael. No, that's not Ahavas Hashem. That's I have a will, and I hope by listening to you, my will be fulfilled. Ahavas Hashem is waking up. I'm not saying once Madrega. I'm just telling you what it is. Ahavas Hashem is, in fact, I'm not on this Madrega. I'm just telling you what it is. Ahavas Hashem is, what can I do for you today? I can daven bisman. I could dress appropriately. I could keep kosher. I can make brachos. I could be patient and do tikkun amidos. I could prepare for Shabbos. It is a God-centric life, not an egocentric life. What you could do for me is, I love myself, therefore I love fish. What I could do for you is, I love you, so I want to eat fish to be healthy. And that's the secret of Ahavas Hashem. And that's why it's reserved for very special individuals. Because I'm going to venture that you, like me, ask God for a lot of things. It's okay to ask Hashem, but our primary motivation should not be, what could you do for me? It should be, what could I do for you? And I'm going back to our handout. Now we understand Devarim 6:5. You say these words every single day, multiple times a day. Shachris, Arvis, Kriya Shema, Lamita. Va'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol meodecha. You're commanded to love God, not to revere God, not to think about God, to love God. Going back to last week's shiur, the first Torah we started with was Rav Sham Shem Fal Hirsch. What does Ahav mean? Ani hei bet. Aleph, me, hey, bet, I give. What does it mean to love God? To give yourself to God. To give of yourself to God. And Rashi says, what's the godless of Ahavas Hashem? Asei dvarav me'ahava. Fulfill his words from love. What can I give to you? Eino dome ha'osa me'ahava lo'osa mira. You can't compare one who serves God out of love to one who serves out of fear. One who serves his Rebbe or his master from fear, as soon as the work becomes too hard, he's going to run away. I'm not interested. This is too much for me. If you only serve God because of Yira, as soon as life becomes too difficult, I'm out of here. But if you're serving, because it's not serving my purposes anymore. But if I'm serving your will, then it's never too much for me. My whole mission every single day is, what can I give to you? Have. Hey, bet. As in, have a libanim. And now we could understand the death and demise and the murder of Rabbi Akiva. Maseches Brachos Samech Aleph, Amud Beis. And it's a very famous story. I know you know the story. However, now we have a whole new understanding of what this narrative of his death really means. At the time that they took the great Rabbi Akiva out to be murdered, it was the time of Kriya Shema. The time of Zman Kriya Shema, the time to declare, I love you, God. What does I love you, God mean? It doesn't mean you're going to give me. It means I'm going to give you. V'hayusarkim es basro b'saru b'master kosho barzel. And you all know this. They're scraping, it's a very famous narrative. I'm sure that everyone knows this Gemara, that guy knows this Gemara. And they're scraping his flesh with metal combs. V'hayim akaba alav omachu shamayim. And he's accepting upon himself the dominion of heaven. Amrlo Talmid of Rabbeinu Arkan Rabbi Akiva saying, wow, Hashem is God, I accept his malchus, I accept his sovereignty. And the students say, Rabbi, really? That's how much you love Hashem? Arkan? To hear is your devotion? When they're in the middle of murdering you, you're accepting God's dominion? Amar Lahem. And what's his answer? Kol Chayai Hayisi Mista'er Ala Pasuk. My entire life I was pained by the Pasuk. The Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha B'chol Nafshecha. My whole life I was pained over, could I really fulfill the Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha? Give your entire self to God by giving your soul. The Ahavta, and you shall give to the Lord God B'chol Nafshecha, with all your soul. I was really pained. Could I really fulfill this? I expect God to give to me. In the first model, in the lower level, I expect God to give me a neshama. Thank you, gave me a neshama. I expect God to give me. In this model of Ahavas Hashem, and now we know what Ahavas Hashem really means. Not I love God. I give everything of myself. My resources, b'chol me'odacha, levavcha, my heart. Whatever God demands of me, I give. But could I really fulfill, said Rabbi Akiva, to prove the ultimate love, the ultimate giving, is b'chol nafshecha. And therefore he said, kol chaya hayisi mitzta'er ala pasach, v'ahavta s'shem elkacha b'chol nafshecha. My whole life I wondered, masai avo v'yadi v'akayamena, when would it come to my hand and I could fulfill, I could prove what an ohev Hashem I am. I just thought of something. Maybe that's why in the aftermath of the Akedah, Hashem says to Avram, Ata yadati ki yare Elokim ata, v'lo chasachta es bincha, es yichidcha mimeni. Why did Hashem tell Avram, you're a yirei Hashem and not an ohev Hashem? After the Akedah. Because he didn't actually give him Yitzchak. He was prepared, but he didn't actually do it. What? Okay, Hashem told him not to. He did tell him not to. But Lamaisa, he didn't give him Yitzchak. He told him not to, but he still didn't give. So God said, you are a Yirei Shemaim. You were prepared to give, but you didn't give. So at this exact moment, I cannot call you an Ohev Hashem, because the definition of Ahava is not to love. The definition of Ahava, we proved it extensively last time, is to give. I urge you, if you missed last week's shiur, to go back and listen. Just like Shavat does not mean rest, Shavat means to cease. And just like Nachem does not mean comfort, Nachem means to change your mind. I could bring you all the proofs, but I don't have time. Ahav does not mean to love. Ahav means to give. And the ultimate love is an Ohev Hashem who gives everything to God. And my whole life I was wondering, when would it come to my hand? Could I really give my whole self to God? And now that it came to my hand, shall I not fulfill? So it was rhetorical. Of course I'm going to fulfill. Hayamarich be'achad, he elongated the word achad, God is one, until his soul went out with achad. A heavenly voice emanated and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, shayatzin ishmasa be'achad. You are fortunate, Rabbi Akiva, your soul went out with the declaration that God is one. The heavenly angel said to God, famous kasha, zu Torah v'zu schora. This is Torah and this is reward, but it's really not a kasha. Because if Ahavas Hashem is the highest level, then it's not a question. If the highest level is to give to God, that includes everything. I could bring you quotes from the Rav, I made a prayer that I didn't even have time for. The angels quote a pasuk from Tehillim 17:14. And they say to Hashem, Mimisim yadcha Hashem, Mimisim. Death should be by your hand, God, not by the hands of the Romans. The angels question God. Death should be by your hand, not by the Romans. Amar Lahem, God said, Chalkam Bechayim, their portion is in the eternal world, in eternal life. A heavenly voice emanated and said, Ashracha Rabbi Akiva, Sha'ata Muzman Nechayah Olam Haba. And this, by the way, relates back to Rabbeinu Bechayah, who says that we just eat the peros in this world. But the Karen Kayemes is in the eternal world of truth. How fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, that you are ready for life in the next world. So to love is absolutely to give. We spent 2 hours and 8 minutes from last week talking about this idea. I urge you to listen to both parts. But ahava does not mean what could you do for me. Not vis-a-vis people. Not vis-a-vis food. And not vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. To love, whether it's in family relationships, friend relationships, Rebbe Talmud relationships, the more you give, said the Bachur to Rav Yosef Tendler, I don't like my English teacher. So Rav Tendler said, give to him, and then you will love him. And so, to answer Akasha from last week, why did Yitzchak say to Esau, bring me food like I love? Because Esau was an expert in food, and Yitzchak loved Esau. And it's a chinuch lesson for all of us as well. The more we give, the more we love. And ultimately, and I'm far, far from there, but that's the highest degree of avodas Hashem. Not to wake up in the morning and say, so what could you do for me today? It's what can I give to you today? So I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Don't forget, I said, thank you everyone for joining on Zoom. 1 second, some of you came late. Please don't forget, it's important. Everyone, please listen to me.